I enjoy listening and singing to music. And perhaps it doesn't need to be noted, but I think it does. It needs to be named that this time of pandemic, music, communal spaces where music is shared together, has been a great loss. Can come in the forms of music festivals, choirs, congregational singing, concerts. All are expressions of who we are as humans. So right now, perhaps more than ever, music is more necessary to find spaces that it can be played, that it can be enjoyed. So I like listening when I'm working in the kitchen, moving around with the rhythm as I'm washing dishes or cooking. Music so easily releases stress, expresses my emotions, and connects me to the world around. Making music is so rich and full of meaning. I have a deep appreciation for those who are able to compose songs matching words and notes. It's a gift when the music matches my soul's longings. Hannah, in the Old Testament passage today, seemed to be able to match her words in this ancient poem with her soul's song. Hannah is one of two wives to Elkanah. And what is not revealed in the portion of passages that we had read this morning, but I'd like to fill in, is that the other wife mocked and degraded Hannah for not having any children. They lived in a patriarchal society in which a woman's value and identity was linked with whether she bore not just children, but particularly a son. A son would ensure that she would be cared for in her old age. It was their retirement plan. The context surrounding Hannah finds the Israelites growing discontented with and wanting to change their form of leadership to match what was modeled around them and other people groups, which relied on monarchies, kings, for their leaders. This would give the Israelites clearly defined leadership for the long term, instead of a cyclical pattern of judges emerging who would guide and lead during times of crisis. Eli and his two sons are mentioned as priests during this time, and they carried out the religious roles. The sons are very quickly spoken of as corrupt and devious. They're actively abusing their powers as the people were trying and sought to be faithful to God. So within this cultural milieu, Hannah found herself very alone. She had a husband who didn't quite get it, a co-wife who mocked her, a faith community that highlighted her lack of value, for it was in the communal settings that highlighted that she did not have children of her own, and a priest who in her hour of prayer accused her of being drunk. But Hannah was a woman of faith. She cried out to God in her deep sorrow, doing what we sometimes do, and that is bargain. Bargaining that if God would give her a son, she would give him back into God's service. in our gospel text. We find another time when the culture is in turmoil, and a young engaged virgin, Mary, is approached by an angel to bear God's son. Well, she ran upon the news of this, ran to her aunt's place to seek refuge. And upon entering her aunt Elizabeth's home, receiving a hearty welcome, Mary sings a song. We return to year after year, often hearing it in Advent. But listening to her prayer in the context of Hannah's prayer, putting them side by side, is a reminder that Mary is one of other women in the Bible who are an integral part of God's salvation story. The story of God hearing all God's people and their cries. These songs are singing God's way into being. Those on the margins are raised in value in God's kingdom. Those with privileges are humbled. Those that are hungry in body and soul are filled. Those whose stomachs and pantries are full find the storeroom of their spirits empty. Those without power are equipped with a power of faith. Those with earthly power lead with a false sense of power that easily fades. Hannah's worth wouldn't come from her earthly community, neither would Mary's. It was her faith in God which allowed her to go to the depths of her vulnerability and pain, seeking healing. In time, notice I say in time because it wasn't immediately. In time, she experiences the presence of God in her life that allows her to see God's work with different eyes. She lives into understanding the upside-down nature of God at work, raising up the powerless, bringing down the powerful, and so offers her only son at the time into God's service. Last week, I was able to listen to a PBS documentary on Howard Thurman's life, an African-American theologian, educator, and civil rights leader who grew up in the far South in Florida in the early 1900s. He was profoundly shaped by a repeated mantra of the preacher who was present in his early years. He ended every sermon by saying, "You are not defined by the color of your skin. You are a child of God." Thurman returned to that phrase over and over again as he grew up in the 1900s, developing a deep well of faith and own self-worth. To have lived into those words, repeating that no matter what others thought of him or even called him, he was first a child of God. This profoundly shaped his identity. This is God's redemptive spirit at work in the world and in our lives. You are a child of God, valued, accepted, and loved. When you or I stand internally from this place, grounded in God's love, the things of this world, power, wealth, identity, begin to shift in our understanding. We see with new eyes, hear with new ears. In Thurman's years as educator and preacher, he found silence and contemplation a lifeline, drawing on God's source of life to fuel him in his spirit and work in the chaotic swirl of the world around him. I learned that not only did he practice this in his private life, but also in his public, including silence regularly in his sermons. Both of our texts are encased in troubled times, where two women cry out to God from their depths. Out of these cries come songs of God's revolutionary work and gracious providence. We live in a time where we are offered every bit of information that we could ever want or not want, from politics to pandemic, natural disasters to demonstrations. It can seem like no matter what news source we turn to, there is turmoil, devastation, abuse of power, producing layers upon layers of anxiety. Perhaps not so different than the world of Hannah, Mary, and Thurman. We have work, demands on our time, relationships, health needs, well-being. We're constantly calculating our moves and practices, mask, not wearing a mask, distancing. What do we do in this scenario? It is these mounting layers that can press in on every side, and hope can seem elusive. Perhaps this is where the magic of music can take us away from this world, lift our spirits, we often say. When we sing our songs, and particularly songs of faith, we lament, we praise, we sing God's way into being, shaping our hearts and minds. We need to be constantly reminded in these songs and in the other voices around us that we are not defined by the color of our skin, but by being a child of God. We are not valued by whether we're single or married, but by being a child of God. Our primary identity is not in a political party, but by being a child of God. Our security doesn't come from our paycheck or wealth management, but by being a child of God. One of Paul's prayers for the Ephesians says it well. I pray that according to the riches of God's glory, God may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through God's Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I was inspired to hear that Howard Thurman incorporated silence into his sermons. So I invite you into a time of silence and contemplation today to consider a few questions. As we do so, feel free to close your eyes or look out the window. Take a deep breath and listen. Allow this space for God to enter your inner being. Consider where you are physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Do you need to offer a lament and cry out to God? Where do you see God's revolutionary care in action? What song are you singing? Let us continue our contemplation as we read the confession as written in the order of service. O God, our King and our Maker, forgive us when we try to make you in our image. Forgive us when we turn to earthly rulers for the wisdom and strength you have already shown us.
Fulfill your purpose in us, that we may be your people, your temples upon this earth, your sisters and brothers in love and mercy.
Even the Most High God regards the lowly with love and compassion. Even the perfect Christ welcomes the sinful and lost with open arms. Come, we are the brothers and sisters of Christ. All are forgiven by grace.
We are the family of God. Praise be for forgiveness in Christ's love.